1 Samuel 26. We're going to look at one verse there, and then we're going to go to 2 Timothy 4. But let's start there with 1 Samuel 26. I want to speak on the subject of the curse of carelessness. The curse of carelessness. 1 Samuel 26, 21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. This is King Saul of Israel. I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, notice what he says about himself, behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Notice what Saul said about himself. Now go to 2 Timothy if you can, and find that in your Bible, chapter 4 and verse 7, a contrasting verse. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And look at what he says in 2 Timothy 4, 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What a contrast in two men. One who was very careless with his life, and one who was very dedicated to God and very careful with his life. Saul was a king. Saul had every opportunity to not be careless. Some say they think he was probably about 7 feet tall, and that he was a very muscular type person, and he had everything at his disposal. He could have lived for God, served God, obeyed God. But King Saul, this great well-known king, was very, very careless with his life. Folks, can I tell you today, we need to be careful with our lives. We cannot afford to be careless with our lives. And he was. And that was the summary of his life. He said, I have played the fool. What will be the summary of your life when you come down to the end of your life? I have played the fool. Paul said, on the other hand, I've fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I believe he did too, don't you? The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, Saul, and then he became Paul, the dedicated servant of God. He was a member of the Sanhedrin that got converted. That was the highest branch of the religious group of his day. But when he got saved, he said, I don't come to you in my education, my learning. I come to you as a servant of Almighty God. And Paul proved that he was, and that he was not careless with his life. He never had anything that was said about him that was real negative as far as some great failure or anything of that nature. The Apostle Paul was stoned and left for dead. He was run out of towns. All kinds of things happened to him. And then ultimately he went to the prison. Many times he was in jail, but he wound up in the Mamertine prison there in Rome for the faith, because he was not careless. I've been in that prison cell there, that place that they say was the actual place where Paul was incarcerated with some others. In the center of that cylindrical room, there's a post there that had sort of some iron on it, and that's where they chained them to it. And the Apostle Paul lost his head. They cut off his head and put him through a chute out into the river there in Rome. He was a man that was careful with his life, and he lived his life to be a great testimony for God. And no wonder he could say when he came down to the end of it, just before he was going to be killed as a martyr, I've fought the fight, I've finished the course, I've done my best, I've been careful to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them exercised care, and one of them exercised carelessness. I believe today, I'm afraid, that Christians are very careless in many ways. We're careless about souls' welfare. Some people are careless about their own soul's welfare. They put off getting saved. They say, I'll do it some other day. I'll do it sometime down the road. First, let me have my fling. First, let me have my fun. First, let me do what I want to do, and then I'll get saved. How careless can you be, friend? The most careless person in this world is a person who'll put off getting saved today. I said to a 14-year-old boy from Somalia yesterday, I was trying to witness to him, and as I was talking to him, I said, do you realize if you died today, according to what you're telling me, you would go to hell, and you wouldn't go to heaven? He said he wanted to go to heaven, but he didn't want to do what God said. And I said, don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to be saved right now? And he said, no, I've got to go. I want to go. 14 years of age, he took that bicycle and walked it down those stairs where I was and said, no, I'll wait. He said, come back, come back. I don't know if I'll ever see him again. I'm going to try to go back and talk to him some more. But I said, what if you die before I get back? He just sort of shrugged his shoulders and went on. Let me tell you something, friend. You're very careless if you don't get saved today if you're not saved.
Amen.
And I've said it many, many times from this pulpit. Now is the accepted time. You say, well, why is now the accepted time? Because are you promised any other time?
Right.
Today is the day of salvation. Why today? Are you promised any other time? You don't know when you're going to die, do you? I don't know. That's why it's careless to put off being saved. If you're here without Christ today, get saved today. Get it all under the blood, your sins forgiven, and know that you're on your way to heaven. Don't be careless about it. Many of us are too careless about our soul's welfare, and we're careless about the welfare of other people's souls. That's why we live loose lives and lives that are not really polished and dedicated and really holy lives for God. We become careless and we affect other people, and it robs other people. When we are careless, we're robbing other people because our lives are careless lives. Now, what causes carelessness? What is the cause of our living a careless life? One of the things is simply indifference. I don't care. I just don't care. Have you ever met a person like that who said, I just don't care? They're in pitiful shape when they make that statement. I just don't care. I don't care. And yet, they are the people that need help the most. But there are people all throughout our society that are careless because they're indifferent. They don't care. They tell us that one reason we pay a lot more money for our product at the store, wherever we shop, is because of careless employees. They're not careful. They don't take care of things. They don't do things right. They don't put them up right. They break things and they throw them around and they do that. And it causes the price to go up. They're careless. Sometimes you get something through the mail and it's supposed to be all intact, but it's broken up. And they'll probably tell you, if you call them, well, somebody that worked for us was very careless or that would not have happened. And it does happen. And that's part of it. Why are people careless? Why are Christians sometimes careless in the way they live and what they do? I think one of the reasons is ignorance. We're careless because we're ignorant of what the Bible says, not knowing God's word and God's will. People say, well, I want to do God's will. Well, what is God's will? How do you know God's will? How do you know what God wants you to do? You get in the Word of God. You read the Word of God. Especially in our dispensation, we read the New Testament. We discover what the will of Jesus is. And I have a lot of people saying, well, I just can't find the will of God. The will of God starts in the Word of God. Start there, and you'll be busy, busy, busy doing what you know is the right thing to do. I can tell you it's God's will for you to be saved today if you're not saved. I can tell you it's God's will for you to go to church because He says that in the Word of God. I can tell you it's God's will for you to tithe in the New Testament local church. Amen? It's God's will. I can tell it is God's will for you to leave liquor alone and not touch it in drugs. Why? Because the Bible is very clear about that kind of thing. I can tell you the will of God about your prayer life and about reading the Bible and about soul winning and witnessing because it's in the book And the Bible tells us the will of God. But the reason some people are careless is because they don't really find out what the will of God is, so they violate that all the time, not even realizing that they're doing it. Ignorance is one of those things. Sin is another reason. David and Samson, take those two men. What happened to them? They were careless because of sin. David let his flesh rule him rather than letting God rule him, and he got careless. Do you think the adultery of King David hurt anybody? Absolutely it hurt him. We don't have to review the history of it today. We don't have time. But I think one of the reasons his son rebelled against him in the long run was because of that. Absalom did that. Samson rebelled against God. He got a haircut in the devil's barbershop. Amen. Samson and Delilah. And he didn't obey God. God has said, don't intermarry with those that are unbelievers, and don't get caught up in the beauty of a woman to the extent that you neglect to understand what she believes and you go along with it. And he didn't do it, and it caused a lot of problems. Passions brought on their carelessness. I can tell you as a Christian, if you don't control your passions by the Holy Spirit, you will live a careless life and you will hurt the cause of Christ. We have to have our passions in check. We have to obey the Word of God and do what the Holy Spirit has said. Sometimes it is parents that are careless. The reason some children don't live right and the reason some get out of church is because of the carelessness of their parents. They do not leave and give strong spiritual impressions to their children. They have a ho-hum Christianity. Take it or leave it. Don't get too excited about it. Don't get too involved with it. We like the preacher. He's a nice guy, but don't get carried away just because he said something, even though he says it's in the Bible. Just don't get too emotional over that. Just do what you want to do, and we're just going to be casual, Laodicean, lukewarm church members. And the children look at that and they say, that's the God they're serving? My goodness. Why would I want to give my life to something that they don't even think is any more important than that? And we can be careless. Parents can be careless, and they don't have any strong spiritual impressions for their children. And especially dads, you have that responsibility. How many times, I want to say it over and over and over again, in the home, it is you dads that have the responsibility to lead the way, to step out, and to make sure that your family follows you and serves the Lord. And set out the path. There may be some that won't do it. That does happen sometimes. But it does not change our responsibility. They do not show forth Christ daily in their lives. They have a Sunday go to meeting religion. We need a daily Christianity. One that works every day. One they see in our lives every day. One that they know is real. And we need to be faithful to God, faithful to the church, and not careless at home. Sometimes I'll admit it is leaders that are careless. There have been too many in my lifetime that I've known of that were preachers and missionaries and leaders, evangelists, who were very careless in their lives. I could tell you some sad, sad stories. May I simply remind you that for every one of those, there are probably 100 or 200 or maybe more that did not do what they did. So don't think all preachers and all leaders are hypocrites. They're not. But there are some who have chosen to go against God's will. They have chosen in that position of leadership. And let me tell you, when it happens, it hurts a lot of people. And a lot of families have been hurt. A lot of things have happened because of that. I've had the responsibility as a Christian and the sad experience of having to go with another preacher and sit down with a pastor's wife and talk to her and try to help her out during the time when her husband had gotten involved with someone in an immoral relationship. Let me tell you, if you don't think it doesn't hurt that wife, doesn't hurt the children, and hurt the members of the church, some people see that and they just say, no, I'll never go back to church. What a hypocrite. Friend, we can hurt the cause of Christ. We cannot afford to be careless in many churches cause carelessness and they cause problems. They fail to get the message out. Let me tell you something. Our job at Worth Baptist Church, above and beyond anything else, is to get the good news out to people that are lost. Amen. And every member of this church has the responsibility to tell people and to witness to people. You may not come on Saturday morning visitation, but you have the responsibility to witness as you go, witness where you are, witness every day as you have an opportunity, and to look for those opportunities, witness on the way. And the reason more people aren't getting saved and the reason our society is paying a high price is because we're not being the salt and light we should be. We're careless with the gospel. We need to get the gospel out. Every woman in this building, every man in this building, every teenager in this building, every boy and girl that knows what it is to be saved needs to be getting the gospel out. We cannot afford to be careless with it. Now, what's the cost of carelessness? There is a cost. Always there's a cost. Matthew reminds us of what can happen in chapter 13 and verse 25. But while men slept, that is, while they were careless, while the church was asleep, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. I can tell you that Satan uses every opportunity that he can get to do exactly that. He wants us to be careless so he can use it against the cause of Christ. And whenever we're careless, the gospel is not given. And if it is given, it isn't listened to because of our carelessness. And souls are not saved. And Satan always gains ground. He sows the tares during the times when God's people are careless. The cost of carelessness is a great cost. And we cannot afford it. We cannot afford to be careless. Folks, we need to be careful. We need to be dedicated. We need to be committed. We need to be holy. We need to have the right attitude. We need to be sold out. We need to serve God with all of our heart, not just part of our heart. We cannot afford to be careless. Now, what's the cure for carelessness? What's the cure for it? Well, one thing is regeneration. It always starts with getting saved. That's where you start, dear friend. Don't be careless. Get saved. Regeneration. Knowing that you belong to Jesus Christ should change your life. Knowing that you're saved and that the Spirit of God has moved into your body and that you are God's child should make you live a different kind of life. And I don't have much confidence in people who say they got saved and their life does not change. I don't have much confidence in that kind of so-called Christianity. When we come to Jesus Christ, our life changes. We know something has happened to us. We know that Christ has changed our lives and that we're supposed to be holy and we're supposed to be careful and we are supposed to be separated from the world system to have a testimony for the glory of God being regenerated and then knowing your place also in serving the Lord. I believe everybody who's saved ought to serve the Lord. Everybody. And the main place we serve the Lord is through the institution that He set up. What institution did He set up for that? The local New Testament church. The ecclesia, the called out body of baptized believers given a task to do, given the great commission. And Jesus spoke these words unto them saying, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, the end of the world. That's our commission. God has called us out to find a place. Everybody has a gift. Where are you serving in the local New Testament church? You say, well, I do something out here and out here, out here. God's institution is the church. Every believer should be involved somehow, some way. Find a ministry, jump in, get involved, serve the Lord. Don't be careless. Do something for God. find that place and use your gift, your ability that is sanctified unto Him for the glory of God. And may I say to you, you are important to God. You say, well, God's not interested in me, my little bit of talent, my little bit of gift, what little bit I know, what little bit I can do. Oh, yes, He is. And He said to them one time about a woman who had done a wonderful thing for Jesus. He said, let her alone. She hath done what she could. Are you doing what you could be doing? She hath done, leave her alone. She's done what she could. It may be picking up papers on the lawn. It may be being a custodian. It may be driving a bus or being a bus captain or helping in the Sunday school class or singing in the choir or being an usher or working with the audiovisual or whatever it may be, going into the nursing homes as one of our men does and going to the jail as we need someone to go and give the gospel there or whatever it may be, doing all of these different things that are out there for people who know God to get involved to do it and not be careless with the responsibility God has given us. Knowing your place in serving God and serving the Lord. Another way God cures carelessness is through chastisement. If we will not do what God has told us to do, if we get careless in our living, careless in what we do and what we don't do. You know, there are sins of omission and commission. There are things we're supposed to do. If we don't do them, that's a sin. There are things we're not supposed to do. If we do them, that's a sin. Both are sins. So commission and omission, we both have both kinds of sins that we can be guilty of in our lives as believers. The Bible is very, very clear about that. But the Bible says, for whom the Lord loves, He chasteneth. Let me tell you, dear friend, if you get careless, you can mark her down. If you're really a child of God's, He is going to chastise you. You say, that's not very comforting. Well, really it should be, because if He doesn't chasten you, you're an illegitimate, the Bible says, right? So would you rather be an illegitimate or a child of God who gets chastened? And if you don't do what God says, because He loves you, God will whip you. God will spank you. Don't raise your hand, but answer it in your own heart. How many of you have ever been whipped by the Lord? If we were raising the hands, I'd be the first one to raise my hand. I know when God spanked me. I know what I was doing. I know how God chastised me. And friend, you know it too, usually. If we do not do God's will, if we're careless, we let sin creep back in our life. We let lukewarmness come back in, Laodiceanism. You know, Jesus said, if there's one thing I despise and hate, He said, I'd rather you were hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Jesus despises lukewarmness. And I'm telling you that the vast majority of Christians that I've met in this world, I believe, are somewhere right in that category, lukewarm. Thank God for those who are sold out. And I pray that the percentages in our churches would grow and we'd have a revival and we would see Laodiceanism go by the wayside. And rather than that, we'd see a revival and we would see the fervency of God's zestos, hotness, on fire for God. What can I do for you, Lord? I love you. Where can I serve you? How much can I give? Point me to the right place. I'll do what you want me to do. Oh God, I turn from that sin because I love you. I'm not going to do that anymore. I turn away from that. I get rid of pornography. I get rid of drugs. I get rid of alcohol. I get rid of immorality. I get rid of a bad attitude. I get rid of bitterness. I get rid of anger. I get rid of pride. I get rid of all of those that are fleshly things. I want to be careful, God, and I want to live controlled by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those ought to be the things. And if we're not careless, we will have all of that fruit at one time. He didn't say the fruits of the Spirit. He said the fruit of the Spirit. All nine of them should be together at one time in my life, in your life, if the Holy Spirit is in charge of our life. The fruit of the Spirit. And so we cannot afford to be careless. Knowing God's place, serving the Lord, being regenerated, knowing you're saved. And then God sometimes would chastise. Now, only God knows when somebody's being chastened. It's not my job or your job to let them know that. Amen? Job had some good friends, and he was going through trials and difficulties. The fact that somebody's going through trouble and trials does not mean they're out of God's will. And it's not my business or your business to judge them. And we don't have to. Now, in a church, a local church, we do have a responsibility to deal with people who we know are violating the principles of the Word of God. When it's unquestionably open, if we know a man and a member of our church is living in adultery, and we know it to be a fact, we've got to deal with that, or a woman. But it's not for us to go around saying, oh, they're sick. I know why they had that wreck. I know why that happened to them. They must have sin in their lives. That's what they kept saying about Job. And God had to sort of clean their plow and let them know that they were dead wrong, that God had other plans, and God was just showing how one man of God can go through all of those troubles and not lose his relationship with God, so that you and I, when we go through trials, can know that we can go through it. None of us are apt to go through anything quite as heavy and rough and tough as Job went through. He didn't go through that because of that, because of sin. He went through it because God wanted to illustrate that he really loved God and he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. Sometimes God uses chastening, sometimes God uses tragedies, and sometimes he allows those things to come in our lives. Why? Because we've gotten careless. Gotten careless. Don't get careless. Read your Bible. Have prayer time. Judge sin in your life. Be on fire for God. Go to church. Don't rob from God. Don't be careless. And then another cure for carelessness is to see a lost world like we should see them. Do we care that people are going to hell? Do we care that they're dying and going to hell? Well, I'm saved, my wife's saved, my family's saved, we're going to heaven, and hallelujah, we're glad about that. That's okay. What about other people? Don't you want them to be saved? I'm trying to figure out a way. I was up here in these apartments north of us yesterday making some calls and talking to some people. And they're people, they've brought them in here, refugees from all over the world. And they're just scores and scores and scores of them. I believe God's going to show me how we're going to reach those people. As I rode around, it's hard to find the street and the apartment numbers there. And I was riding around trying to find it, and I'd see all these people in their native attire and all of that. And I kept thinking, God, how are we going to reach them? How can we come over here? How can we reach these people? What can we do to reach all of these kids? You know why? Because I don't want them to go to hell. And you should feel the same way. That should not just be my feeling. That should be your feeling, your heartbeat. We don't want people to go to hell. That's why we can't afford to be careless. If you don't want people to go to hell, you'll live a good life and a clean life, and you'll have joy of the Lord in your life, and you'll have victory in your life over whatever comes. We can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see a world of lost people dying. In other words, we need vision. Real vision. God-given vision. A vision that would stir us up over people dying and going to hell. Are we just going to be satisfied with us and ours going to heaven? Are we going to get with it as God told us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20 and other passages like it? We're to get out there and bring people to Christ and do what God wants us to do. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Saul said, I have played the fool. What are you going to say when you come to the end of your life? I've fought a good fight. Or I have been foolish. Friend, if you die without Christ, I'll tell you what you're going to say. You won't be dead 5 seconds until you'll say, I've been foolish. Get saved today. God loves you, and God wants to help you. He doesn't want to hurt you. Those restrictions, you think he's going to bind you up and restrict you? Listen, you've never known freedom like you know when you come to Jesus Christ. That's freedom, dear friend. And that, all those other binding things can go on their way. That's freedom, is coming to Christ. I hope you'll come to Him today. And believers, we cannot, let me say it again, you leave here with this thought in your mind today. I cannot be careless. I cannot afford to be careless. I can't do anything. I can't practice anything in my life, either omission or commission, that would cause me to be careless to others about me and careless in the cause of Christ. Let's stand, please. Let's bow our heads and we'll give the invitation. We're asking you, if you want to be saved, listen carefully, if you would, if you'd like to be saved. This is the way we do it at our church. We ask you to step out and come forward, and somebody will take a Bible. You just say to whoever's up here, the workers, one of the workers, and say, I want to be saved. And they'll take it from there. That's all you got to do, is I want to be saved. They may ask you when you're coming, are you coming to be saved? But step out and come. And then, believers, may you search your heart. May each of us search our hearts today. Is there any place and anything that God's put His hand on, the Spirit of God, and said, you're being careless there. You need to correct that. May God help you to come. Father, bless in the invitation. It is yours. God, help us to be honest with you, and help us even with this invitation not to be careless. You've given it. You've given your word. Help us to be careful how we respond to what you're saying to us. And I pray for the unsaved that they'd come. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name.